This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Talk radio that you control, and you can call in to talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. With you tonight, it's Aria, Vincent, and Ian, and we're talking about the, quote, second American Civil War here. And, you know, initially I was skeptical about whatever experts Vice managed to pull in, but then they pulled in the CIA. Mm-hmm. Well, they are the experts in insurrection
conflict.
Yeah. So they know exactly how rebellions go because they are very good at causing them.
Indeed.
So what else did these experts have to say about the state of things here in the United States?
Before we get into that, I do want to let our listeners know that coming up tonight at about 10:30 Eastern Time on our DLive and Twitch feeds, which you can follow those channels over at DLive.LRN.FM and Twitch.LRN.FM. Vincent is here for a special episode. He didn't come down just to be on Free Talk Live tonight. The original intention was that he was going to do a special episode of Questioning Authority because we did a show 4 years
ago.
Together in 2016, along with Cody O'Connor, actually, at the time. And so we're reprising that that particular trend or tradition, I suppose.
Yeah, let's call it a tradition.
Here,
yeah.
After Free Talk Live, so stay tuned on our video channels for that tonight. We will go from 10:30 until you feel like you're done, I suppose.
Oh, geez, oh, no, Ian, you're gonna eat those words.
So that's happening. But do you want to go to those calls?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Hold off on that. Yeah. So we've got Douglas calling from New Hampshire. Douglas, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys, I was just wondering, how come you're not on YouTube anymore?
We are. We're still on YouTube. You can go and watch every episode that we do. YouTube has not banned Free Talk Live. We're just not live on YouTube.
And that's because YouTube changed how their live streaming platform works, trying to maintain control, trying to keep people from streaming simultaneously to Twitch, DLive, and YouTube.
They've just made it harder, and I would just rather just give up rather than try to jump through their arbitrary hoops. But there's no need to be upset. We're on two other live streaming platforms. So have you considered trying DLive or Twitch? Because we're on both of them.
I'm going to look for it. And also, I wanted to see if there was a difference between the Boogaloo Boys and the other boys. What are they called?
Oh, the Proud Boys?
Yeah. So I think the Proud Boys are more like just a bunch of guys who got out of a bar and don't want to put up with any nonsense, and the Boogaloos are looking for trouble. You see the difference?
I understand why you'd come to that conclusion, because the Proud Boys, they refer to themselves as like a men's drinking club, while the Boogaloo Boys, they show up to events with firearms and stuff, right? Like the first time I ever encountered the Boogaloo Boys was at the first anti-lockdown protest in New Hampshire in Concord, and a lot of people were uncomfortable by them because they didn't have a website. They were from out of state too. They referred themselves as New England, and it was just they were all generally just very off-putting. So I understand why you think that way.
Yeah.
Well, but, Douglas, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no dead bodies when the Proud Boys come around.
Well, there haven't been any dead bodies from the Boogaloo Boys yet either. I'd like to point that out.
Well, wasn't the guy from Kenosha a Boogaloo Boy? No.
I don't think he referred to himself as such. He was just part of some, like, he attached himself to some sort of constitutional militia thing, but we couldn't find out because the day after, the Facebook page got taken down.
Was he wearing a Hawaiian shirt at the time? That's how you could tell.
No, yeah. He was not.
Yeah. But then he was not.
If he was not wearing a Hawaiian shirt, I'm going to say he wasn't a Boogaloo.
Well, the Boogaloo Boys in at the Reopen one, they weren't wearing Hawaiian shirts. They were wearing all sorts of
questioned whether they were Boogaloo Boys.
They called themselves
Well, anybody can show up and call themselves anything.
So, but there's no Boogaloo LLC that says you must wear this Hawaiian t-shirt.
No, of course not. But it's generally known
that
the unofficial uniform of the Boogaloo is the Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I suspect that he's just, that Kyle Rittenhouse is just a, you know, young conservative who wanted to go and, you know, stand up for what he thought he needed to stand up for in that case.
Douglas, thank you so much for the call. We're going to keep going. We've got Bad Slave calling from New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you, boys.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, first, a little complaint. You guys keep referring to in the Civil War, you know, that the concern was for state rights, and there is absolutely no such thing as states' rights. Rights are only attributed to, you know, sentient entities.
Yes, you're right about that.
Constitutionally speaking, the Tenth Amendment says that.
Actually, you're upgrading the state's power by calling them rights.
Okay, I don't think that we were calling them rights. I get what you're saying, and you're right about this. You're absolutely right, for instance, Bad Slave, that rights only are attributable to human beings, not to anything besides human beings, right? So the individual has rights. States don't have rights. That said, the terminology at the time, when you look at the reasons for the Civil War, the terminology that's used in legal land is the idea of states' rights. So I'm glad you pointed that out. It's important to point out that rights are only a human concept for individuals and that states don't have rights. But in the case of the Civil War, that is the ostensible reason, is that these states wanted to have their own ability to make decisions at the state level, and some people call that states' rights.
Right. I'm curious, did that occur? Any of you historians here know that phrase occurred as states' rights and not states' powers?
I have no idea, and I'm not a historian.
And, you know, during the war and during the roll up or before, you know, in the 19th century and before.
Well, generally, the whole argument for states' rights that these states made when they seceded was based on the 10th Amendment, which specifies that all powers not specifically delegated within the Constitution to the federal government were reserved either to the states or to the people.
Well, of course, they're called powers there as well, are they not?
They are.
I don't want to argue semantics, though, on national radio.
Well, yeah, we're already 2 minutes in.
It's not an argument. It's just the truth, and I think that the truth always should out. When the phrase states' rights comes up, an automatic correction by truthful people ought to be applied. That's all I got to say.
Thanks for catching our oversight.
Thanks, Bad Slave, and thanks for the call. I mean, you are right. It's easy to refer to the government or, you know, something like that instead of saying, as we have here on the wall, tyrants, despots, thieves, lunatics, and all of these other things. It's easy to slip into their terminology.
Yeah.
And that's effectively what we did. But that was the terminology they used at the time. So, but you are correct. I mean, states don't have rights.
Indeed. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Do we have another one?
We do. We have. I didn't want to take them with it because there's a minute left in this segment.
Well,
so.
You never know. Sometimes it can be quick.
So Cole is calling from Pennsylvania. Cole, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
It's on your mind, Cole.
I wouldn't have believed it, but one of my family members, really close relative, I should say, of mine, received the paper, the letter from the Department of Health.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this, to me, would be newsworthy material. This, they received a letter demanding that they quarantine for 14 days. Now,
why?
The letter states that... Why?
Yeah.
They're saying they've been exposed to COVID-19. No proof given. I must remain quarantined and not vote in person on election day, and if they fail to obey the order, they can possibly... face arrest if they go and try to It is, wow. Right? So the Wolf administration, being Democratic, they know that Trump may have locked down PA. PA is going to be one of the states where it's going to give that factor.
So you think this is politically motivated, that this person is being told that they have to quarantine and therefore they can't vote?
There was something in the news about that today. Mysterious letters being received from people. 855-450-3733. 855-453 as in freedom.
She's a purebred orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out. DINOVITE.com. So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
Dynavite. She's Little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the value soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BainBooks.com. Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her Uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series. From Bain Books at BainBooks.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation, to supporting detoxification, to stabilization of blood sugar, and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowway.com. Greenmeadowway.com.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Radio that you control. You can call want to talk about anything that's on your mind, that toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Vincent.
And I want to say thank you to Corey, who is tonight's amplifier. This means Corey is a member of the AMP program. You can find it at amp.freetalklive.com. It only costs $5 per month to join, and it's money that is used strictly to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. So if you like what we're doing, if you like the show, and you want to help us get on more radio stations, joining the AMP program is the best way to do it. It has a number of cool little features, like an AMP-only call-in line, an AMP-only chat room on the Matrix server, I believe. There is an AMP-only Facebook group and some other cool little things like that. Check it out. That's amp.freetalklive.com. Corey, thank you so much. We hope you enjoy the show, and we hope you continue amplifying it. So let's get back to Cole here. I actually didn't ask him to stick around, but I'm hoping he was able to. So, Cole, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so I've already forgotten. How was this person related to you who received this letter from the Department of Health?
Yeah, it's a close relative of mine. I'm actually trying to get the person to let me, you know, copy so I can get this information out, because there was another person to report on this from, I believe it was some radio station. It was out of Pittsburgh. Now, I'm 6 hours from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Not even close. Don't listen to anything from Pittsburgh. And it was Wendy Bell. She actually released that on her own, but the same information in the counties that she released are with all in a 45-mile radius of where I live. I live near all them counties. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
So let me recap for our listeners here. Your relative received a letter from the Department of Health saying that your relative had to lock themselves down, quarantine themselves for 14 days, which would prohibit them from going to physically vote. And they received this letter when?
Oh, they received the letter, I would say, a couple of days ago or 2 days ago.
Right, so it would be impossible for them to therefore, if they were to follow this letter, it would be then therefore impossible for them to actually vote via an absentee, because it's way too late 2 days ago, right? Like, you have to put in early to get into the absentee vote then, because they got to send it to you, and then you got to send it back to them. And
well, not in New Hampshire. I mean, they sent everyone ballots that could be filled out.
No, they didn't. You have to request.
It's normally by request only, but this year they sent them to everyone by default.
I guess
it's, you know, New Hampshire goes to Joe Biden, Van. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that legal for them to do that, or is that like a suggested ballot? Who sent it?
No, I did. I did receive one. Everybody,
I assumed the Secretary of State.
Them.
Yeah.
You did, huh? Interesting.
Well, I got a mail in, but not everybody wants to respect it and trust it. So people want to vote in person. They just like to do it.
I voted in person today.
Know. So did I.
Me too.
But what you're bringing up is interesting, though, that suggesting that essentially this could be a campaign to try to intimidate voters into not voting because they believe they could face criminal charges, which is what the letter suggested could happen, is they could be arrested if they went to go and vote, correct?
Because they were,
quarantined.
They posed around COVID with the contact tracers. So this is all reverts back to that.
Right. So this is what they're doing to people, whether it's regarding the election or not. That's speculative and it's interesting. It could very well be. But this is how invasive this whole system is. If you go to a restaurant and somebody who has COVID went to the same restaurant, and there's these restaurant tracing going on where the restaurants are taking down names and phone numbers in a bunch of states.
But we have here in New Hampshire now.
They've added as of, I think, Friday or Saturday night.
But Sununu didn't actually write anything down. Amazingly, he just said, hey, this is a good idea, and now everyone is going to be doing it.
So what they'll do is they'll try to find out who all went to the same restaurant, and they'll just quarantine them all. And it's crazy.
Yeah,
don't tell me what to do.
My aunt's a doctor, and she got it. So say that's not ironic. So she got it, and her husband got it. So I can actually say I know a family or someone close to me that has COVID. Mm-hmm. Now, the ironic thing about it, I should say, is that they both got the flu shot. I believe it's in the flu shot.
Did they die?
My opinion.
Did they die from COVID?
No.
Did they get hospitalized from COVID?
No.
Okay. So no big deal then?
No.
Yeah. No.
None probably, whatsoever.
Probably just like a cold for a few days.
Hey, thanks for sharing that story with us tonight, man. Very interesting.
Yeah, Cole, thank you so much for the call. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there were people... I would want to know, first of all, whether or not this letter actually came from the Department of Health. I would be stunned if it did, because I saw news articles today about how people could, you know, still vote, even if they were under quarantine. They could still go in and vote. It was an exception to the quarantine policies.
So this could have been an intimidation tactic by the left or whatever, presuming it was someone on the right who received the letter. And there were also letters that were being delivered to people saying, we saw you on the Trump donors list and we're going to burn your house down.
What?
If you vote or something like that.
Yeah. I had a listener whose family was on his list versus website, which I don't know if it's still up, where it would list names of people who would, like, you know, support Trump or had, you know, pro-Trump signs and things. And that's pretty discerning.
So they received a letter saying they would burn down their house if they went to vote?
Something like that. Yeah.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because this person is suspected to be a Trump supporter?
They were on the list. I mean, Trump supporters.
It's like they talk about Russian and Iranian, you know, election meddling. I mean, here we have homegrown election meddling.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nothing new either.
Well, that's a pretty dirty trick. I mean, I've never heard of that happening. I'm sure maybe it has happened before, but that's never made the news that I've seen.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Actual threats of arson.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean, it certainly has. It just hasn't historically been directed at straight cis white people.
Okay,
I mean, just being
enough.
Real.
Well, I just meant over voting, you know.
Well, I mean, they did, you know, have the KKK members trying to keep black people from voting in the South as recently as, like, the 80s, I think. Hmm. So, I mean, it does happen.
And I'm not surprised it happened in Pennsylvania either. I remember, like, one of the earliest news stories I ever remember was you'd have, I think they were members of either Acorn or Black Panther Party, I think it was in Pennsylvania, where there'd be some group of thugs would stand outside of election booths, right? And they'd have, like, crowbars or baseball bats and melee weapons. And, that's the extent of what I remember of it. But, yeah, they were just standing outside. This happened in Pennsylvania, right? And I think it's probably the Philadelphia or Pittsburgh area. And, the cops are all on, you know, it's a political machine there in Philadelphia, so nothing happened to it. But, yeah, I'm not surprised shenanigans are going on in Pennsylvania. It's very beautiful, great people, but it's an incredibly corrupt state.
Is threatening to burn down someone's house over their vote an act of war? A civil war, perhaps?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But
it may be a prelude to such a civil war.
It sounds like textbook political violence, or at least political intimidation.
I mean, isn't that politics, though, is violence?
It is.
And intimidation?
Well, but, I mean, this is more overt,
this
right?
This definitely goes to the point of being illegal, right? You're not supposed to do that.
More on this, more on the possible civil war. What do you think? Is threatening to burn down someone's house because of who they support politically, is that the sign of the oncoming civil war? Are we already in it? And we just don't know it yet because the shot at Lexington hasn't been heard around the world yet. 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. You can give us a call. Let us know what you think about it. Are we in a civil war?
News from news.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin tops 13,000 and breaks its own record for consecutive days above 10,000. Satoshi Nakamoto, if alive, enters the top 200 world's wealthiest people. DC, International Monetary Fund Manager, warns of major financial reset imminent. PayPal begins selling and accepting Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes mainstream. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Polls are now closed in at least half of the United States, with President Trump earning electoral votes in Kentucky, West Virginia, Indiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Missouri, and Oklahoma. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden earning electoral votes in Vermont, Virginia, the District of Columbia, New Jersey, Maryland, Maine, Illinois, and Delaware. In a Senate race many people are keeping their eye on, Mitch McConnell is the winner of the race in Kentucky. The majority leader was able to beat back a challenge from Democratic candidate Amy McGrath. The Democrats spending over $70 million in that race. This election is on track to have the highest voter turnout in more than a century. At least 101 million people have had their voices heard going into today. More news online at usaradio.com. USA Radio News. The polls closed in Ohio at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Although it may be a while before we know who will earn Ohio's 18 electoral votes. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose reminding everyone.
Those late arriving absentee ballots could cause a delay, but what will happen later on in the night is that we will report an accurate but incomplete number. Boards of Elections can receive ballots up until and through the 13th of November, as long as they were postmarked by Monday, November 2nd.
Acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf is urging voters to be patient in waiting for election results. Wolf saying it's important to recognize this process may require time. As far as any foreign interference in elections, Wolf says,
but let me be clear, our election infrastructure is resilient, and we have no indications that a foreign actor has succeeded in compromising or affecting the actual votes cast in this election.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Control. You can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. It's that toll-free number. It's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria, Ian, and Vincent. And the United Kingdom has canceled Christmas, evidently. But before we get back into that, we get into that at all, we're talking about the Civil War here and what the CIA seems to think is going on in the United States. I don't think we're in a civil war. I think it's probably a lot of people who are hoping that we're headed toward a civil war for whatever reason. These people want violence.
Well, and that's what I think could be the cause of it. The fact that people are hoping and they're thinking about it and they're talking about it, they could manifest it in that case.
Do they not realize how horrific that would actually be?
I don't know.
Well, maybe their lives already right now are so awful that a civil war would be a improvement. Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we already have all this tyranny that's, you know, probably never going to go away in, you know, any peaceful form. So at this point, you know, why? Like, the way I see it is, the longer things go on, especially for public schools, the less freedom minded people are just going to be. Just by, they don't need to, you know, black bag everyone and who cares about freedom and throw them into FEMA camp. They just have to get their children to worship the state. And I think with each generation, there's less and less people caring about freedom, or at least not even caring, understanding what real freedom is. Mm-hmm. And a point
These aren't going to be freedom fighters. On whatever the two sides are, neither side will be a freedom fighter side, right?
It'll be one side wanting to control everything.
It was their idea of freedom. I mean, like some people, their idea of freedom is freedom from having to pay for health care or freedom from having to pay for college.
Or freedom from the control of the others. Right?
Yes.
They want
yes.
the freedom to tell people what to do.
Well, and I mean, that's where it goes into a consent of a governed, where I think that where if, you know, if the one group, which is why I think like here, we're looking at all these maps, right? And they, other than the battleground states, which I think there's like 8 battleground states, at least in this cycle, it's, we have these group, right? The blue wall, the, you know, the Mason-Dixon line, right? You have these two geographic areas that are always going to vote, that are similar, that are all similar in culture. They're always going to vote the same way. So what's the point of keeping them all together in the same union?
I agree.
There isn't one. It's just tradition. I mean, but the system is broken, right? Most of these people don't really know what they believe. They're going to vote for whatever candidate has a certain letter next to their name. And the result is going to be that ignorant people in California or Texas or Mississippi or Oklahoma or wherever are deciding who ultimately gets to rule over us here in New Hampshire. And that's fundamentally a bad idea.
Yeah, well, if the Civil War happens, then it will, to some extent, be an acknowledgement that voting doesn't solve problems, right? That this system has never led to any side being happy. And this may be the only way out of it from some people's perspective. And they're not wrong, necessarily. Like, we're never going to vote our way out of this situation. I'm not saying violence is the solution, but it is, in a lot of cases, inevitable. So if people feel like they're trapped, you know, they're going to lash out.
Sure.
I wish more people would forgive and ignore the state, but unfortunately, we're not to that point yet.
No, I think that would be a better solution, however, than civil war.
I agree.
Just stop obeying.
I totally agree with you, but that's not it. We're not there because the people who are participating in this aren't like us. We want to avoid conflict as peaceful, liberty-minded folks because we understand that conflict is destructive. And these people,
violence begets violence.
But these people don't care about that. You know, they've had violence used against them, so they're going to turn right back around and try to use it against the, quote, other side. So back to Vice.com, where they talked to some so-called experts, again, looking at different examples of more recent civil wars. They say the Syrian civil war was fought by paramilitary groups in neighborhoods in the early stages. For 30 years in Ireland, insurgent groups policed the streets, disappeared people from their homes, assassinated political enemies, and bombed buildings. The Colombian conflict was an asymmetrical war that lasted almost 60 years and involved various guerrilla groups fighting each other and the government. During the years of lead in Italy, or I don't know if that's lead or lead, spelled the same, obviously, right-wing terrorists colluded with the police and assassinated leftist political leaders. These and other conflicts are overwhelmingly what civil war looks like now. Armed groups with various objectives vying for territory and cultural and political influence, often violently.
Isn't that, like, literally always been what a civil war was?
But they're talking about these armed groups are not state groups.
Okay.
They're not. They don't represent the state or a wannabe state. They might want to be a state eventually, but at least in the moment, they're not in any reasonable sense. So according to several experts, if America goes to war with itself, it won't look like it did in 1860. It'll look more like Belfast in 1972 or Aleppo in 2011. But even these analogies fall short. It's hard to find direct historical analogs for what's happening in the U.S. right now. This kind of political violence and civil strife isn't new, but there's a lot of factors that make America unique. The U.S. is a large country spread out across millions of square miles. Social media is fueling the conflict, and our populace is heavily armed. People, it is fair to say, are scared. The strongest indicator that S is about to get extremely bad is not hate. There's always hate. It's fear. David Kilcullen, a member of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, nonprofit foundation, told me during a Zoom call. Kilcullen is a counterinsurgency strategist who serves on the FDD's board of advisors for its Center on Military and Political Power. He was also the chief strategist and some bureaucrat.
Well, if fear is the catalyst, then we probably are on our way to a civil war because there has been nothing but fear systematically pushed onto the American people this entire year.
Because he studied insurgencies, he knows what the early stages of a civil conflict look like, and he's not excited about America's future. Quote, the worst atrocities come from fear, not hate, because people think they're good, and they can justify incredible atrocious violence to themselves on the basis that it is defensive. You need a belief that some other group is encroaching on your territory, and then you need to have lost confidence in the ability of the state to act as an impartial impartial and neutral protector. We're already losing that confidence, he says, because of COVID.
You know, just COVID's like this, like it's like the blank card, right? You just put it for whatever.
Because of COVID.
Well, if COVID is causing people to lose faith in the state, I'm okay with
all
that.
All right.
That's a good thing. But I don't think that's been the result at all.
It's the opposite. I mean, for trusting the state so much, but they constrict for breathing willingly.
Yeah, but maybe it could result. You're right. As far as right now, that's definitely true. People are doing exactly what they're told. But maybe eventually they will get to the point where they realize that, all these, I mean, I'm being optimistic here, right? Maybe all these restrictions that they've been putting us under, and the cases are still going up, maybe the restrictions don't work. Maybe the state is not effective at doing what they say they are. I don't know.
Or they're just lying, right? They figure out that they are lying.
Kilcullen isn't the only person who thinks America's close to something incredibly dangerous. Quote, "We are in a state of civil war. Whenever, in more than one geographical location in the United States, it becomes commonplace for multiple non-state armed groups to fight each other with deadly force. When that is an occurrence that is common in more than one location in the country, that's a civil war." Unquote.
How common is it? I've never heard any stories of armed civilians fighting each other with guns in the streets of the United States.
So, by that perspective, he's saying it's not happening yet.
Okay.
So, that was his definition of what would be a civil war in the United States.
Well, with Kyle Rittenhouse, one of the people he shot, the guy the bicep he blew off, that guy had a gun. He was charging him with a gun.
Sure, but a skirmish or fight is not the same thing.
But it's
thing
the seeds for it. It's the sparks for it.
Yeah,
starts small.
He's saying it would be commonplace in more than one geographic location. We haven't seen that yet. This is Robert Evans. He's a conflict journalist who's reported from Ukraine, Syria, and Iraq. His work has appeared in various places. He's got a podcast, etc. Quote, "To most people, the idea of a second American Civil War feels more like science fiction than a possible future," Evans said on It Could Happen Here, which is his podcast. It feels silly when I stand in line at the DMV or hop onto a public bus or train. The systems that govern our lives here are so seemingly intricate, so stable, and so settled that any kind of mass upset feels impossible, fantastic even. But I have walked through the cities where the buses still run, just without windows, because the blasts from mortars have blown them all out. I've watched people, again, he's talking about like Syria.
Sure.
He says, "I've watched people stand in line and fill out forms in government buildings while howitzers shake the foundations and machine guns chatter half a mile away. Can you imagine people still being so obedient to the state in the middle of armed conflict?"
I can't.
Jesus.
That's bizarre. I'm going to need a few minutes to process that. I'm glad we didn't get to that until the very end of the segment. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drink water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Talk radio you control. The only show where you can call in to talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Ian.
And Vincent.
And it is election night, and we're doing everything we can to avoid talking about the election results, because that's what everyone is doing. And
we're going to do it coming up in just over a half hour.
That's true.
On DLive.LRN.FM and Twitch.LRN.FM. Tune in after Free Talk Live for Vincent with Questioning Authority starting at about 10:30 Eastern. We're going to take a little break. You're going to do the archives, and we'll imbibe what needs to be imbibed. So then, because we could really only talk about the election results if we are high and drunk.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, do not care at all about any election except one, and I'm getting almost no results whatsoever.
It's driving you up the wall, isn't it?
It is, man. I mean, all of these other races, I mean, people are focusing on all of these precincts that have voted for, you know, the president, mm-hmm. and when you look at all of these others, there are a lot more precincts that have reported, and then there's Cheshire Sheriff here with one freaking precinct out of 27, and it's not looking good.
No, it's not.
But it's also one precinct, but I mean, yes, it's driving me crazy, and it was inevitable that it was going to drive me crazy, right, because I don't like having things hanging over my head. I don't like unknowns.
I understand. It'll come. You'll find out what the truth is. And you know what? Even if you don't win, Aria, it's been a great campaign. I've really enjoyed it. I think a lot of other people have as well. And you've done incredible work with a lot of the interviews that you've done. I've only seen some of them. I happened to see some of them as you were recording them, and they were fantastic. You've reached out successfully to people on the left and explained to them how the state is actually a religion, and like to a bunch of skeptics, atheist-type skeptics. I mean, that was an incredible outreach project that you didn't know was going to happen as a result of this, but it did. So you've gotten a lot of renown as a result of this, new followers that are, you know, following you on Twitter and, you know, wherever else that you post things.
It's primarily Twitter, because I spent almost this entire election period banned on Facebook.
You've written some amazing blog posts over at ariaforsheriff.com. That's aria4sheriff.com. Tom. And if people haven't actually seen some of your writings that you've done during this campaign, I think you've really, that's been one of the highlights for me, is just reading your opinions. And it's been, I think, very, very interesting. I've learned some stuff. And so I think it's just been a win overall. Whether or not you actually win the sheriff's race, you definitely won, I think, hearts and minds. I think a lot of hearts and minds have been opened, if not changed, on realizing how closed they might have been previously, how ignorant people have been. So it's been an eye-opener. Kudos.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
I hope it continues to be fun, but who knows? And, I mean, even if I don't win, I will find something else to do in the future to shake things up.
Absolutely. Because you can definitely parlay, you know, this level of exposure into something else. I would say if you don't win sheriff, you probably shouldn't run for it a third time.
I agree entirely. If I don't win, I'm done running for sheriff.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm no Earl Nelson. I'm just saying, if I lose twice, one of them having a better chance than I did as, you know, at any time previously, I'm not going to get a better chance to win this race.
Right. This is it.
So if it doesn't happen, fine. Move on to do other things. Mm-hmm. If it does happen, though, I'm going to have a headache for several weeks, I'm sure. But anyway, so we're talking about the American Civil War. Maybe that will be what starts it, is having an anarchist sheriff. Suddenly everyone's motivated to fight the police. I would prefer people not do that, but who knows?
Well, that's, you know, there's an interesting story here at Vice where they're looking and talking to supposed experts on civil conflict. And one guy who's reported, a conflict journalist who's reported from Ukraine, Syria, and Iraq. So in the midst of some serious, you know, battlegrounds, this guy says, and this was shocking to me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to recap his last couple of sentences here. He says, I have walked through the cities where the buses still run just without windows because of the blast from mortars have blown them all out. I've watched people stand in line and fill out forms in government buildings while howitzers shake the foundations and machine guns chatter half a mile away. I have seen systems collapse. Everything I've seen and everything I've read over the past 2 years has convinced me that the United States is closer to that kind of terror than anyone else is willing to admit. It's amazing to me that people would go and fill out forms in a government building in the midst of a war. That's crazy. It just shows how
it is crazy, but
obedient people are.
I'm not surprised by it, man. These people love their forms. They love their bureaucracy.
God,
they love jumping through those hoops because it makes them feel like there is some sort of order amongst the chaos.
Maybe.
Because we're all terrified. We're just stupid little apes on this random rock in the middle of a freaking universe that terrifies us, and we want order. We want to know what's going on. We want to be assured that someone is in control, that someone is taking care of things, and filling out those forms is how they convince themselves that's the case.
I think you're right about that. Adam Isaacson, the director of the Defense Oversight Program at WOLA, whatever that is, a group that advocates for human rights in Latin America, says a civil war in the U.S. could look a lot like the Colombian Civil War, where violence is happening, but it's not evenly distributed across the country. And if you look at the summertime with all the protests, many of which turned violent, it certainly wasn't evenly distributed. It was just the big cities, right? So rural areas didn't have much to worry about. Of course, there's more guns in rural areas. And you know,
funny how that works.
Yeah, New Hampshire also didn't have any issues. There were a few protests here, but they didn't get crazy. They didn't turn violent. Again, New Hampshire, well-armed as far as its populace is concerned. So he goes on.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, if you want to start trouble, you don't go to the heavily armed states. You go to the schools.
The unarmed zones.
The gun-free zones.
Says, like many current conflicts in the world, for most Americans, a civil war, even one in their own country, will just be something they see on TV. Even now, much of what's happening in the U.S. can be put out of mind or avoided if you don't go to protests and avoid large parts of the Internet. Life marches on. In the early 2000s, Isaacson was in Bogota working with security experts and human rights activists who were detailing the horrors unfolding in Colombia's countryside. In between meetings, he would grab a meal at a cafe. Quote, I'm eating my sandwich. I've got another meeting coming up. I'm going to hear more horrible things. And I look up and I just see the beginning of this soap opera that's very popular in Colombia at the time, with this happy middle class family eating together and dancing and hugging. And, you know, they could then go off and do their soap opera things. You realize that even in this horrible period for Colombia, for most of the country, this conflict was just something you saw on television. It doesn't really impact their everyday lives. Collapse, he said, is not evenly distributed. I'd say there's a real danger that America is going to see sustained political violence. Unquote.
I'd say that if there was any area like in other like in a lot of these countries mentioned, the fighting is in like the lowlands, right, or places that you don't have like centralized government control cities. I think if there is some sort of sectarian conflict in the U.S., it's going to be the opposite. I think the cities, places like Philadelphia, New York City, Detroit, Chicago, L.A., you know, that's where a lot of violence is. That's where the violence is going to be, and that's where the infrastructure is collapsing. You have all sorts of people. Part of the reason why like
people are already running out of.
Exactly. Yeah. Part of the reason why, like, New Hampshire and Texas are getting ruined is because you have these people, right, who flee Massachusetts and California, mm-hmm. go to a new place, like, slightly more pro-freedom state, and then they vote for the same exact people. Yeah. They're like cancer, like locusts.
I don't know if I agree that it can happen in some of these big cities like New York City and Los Angeles because their gun control laws are so strict that the people there, they just can't have an armed conflict, even if they want one.
Well, they'll find something. I mean, you can have an armed conflict without guns.
There's guns shipped in, or they could, you know, create. I mean, it's mind you, in the UK and in Ireland, you know, they have some of the strictest gun controls in the world, and there are islands too. But and with the IRA, Gaddafi, back when he was still alive, he would, and all sorts of other terrorist groups in the, or they would ship and sell weapons to the IRA. So I mean, the same thing like the Russians or the Chinese could, you know, it's. Feasible that they just, you know, drop pallets of weapons for people.
Right. I mean, wasn't Roz Simone the guy who was in the what was it called in Seattle? The yeah, jazz?
The SoundCloud warlord.
Yeah. So there was a rapper who was the sort of one of the self-proclaimed leaders in the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone or the Chaz right. in Seattle over the summer. Wasn't there footage of him like handing out guns out of his trunk or something?
Yeah,
like
he
that?
Just drives up in his Tesla. He opens a trunk and he asks some guy who was with him. He says, "Are you 18?" The guy says, "Yeah." And so he gives him an AR.
That's an awesome public service.
And he had
kudos
his,
to that guy.
Well, but the thing is, he would go around and if someone was filming him or someone was, you know, doing graffiti that he didn't agree with, they would attack them. And they even said on camera, "We're the police now."
Well, and that's the point I wanted
to make. That's what
with
the police are.
Sure.
But these people hate it. So yeah, go ahead.
The point I wanted to make with that is, yeah, there may not be very many weapons legally, but if conflict starts, they'll come in from the outside.
Sure. I just don't know if I trust the average liberal Californian to
they're gonna run.
Acquire a gun or to
the liberals,
use a gun.
The liberal pussies are going to run.
Well, there's people like the John Brown Gun Club. That's
the Redneck Revolt.
Yeah, Redneck Revolt. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some violent people there.
I'll put the full article from Vice, up on our Twitter at twitter.freetalklive.com, our Mastodon at toot.freetalklive.com, and our Telegram at telegram.freetalklive.com, so you can read the rest.
Absolutely, and check back here in about half an hour at 10:30, Questioning Authority, or QA with Vincent.
Thank you.
Ian tonight is going on. That's 10:30. You can watch it at dlive.lrn.fm or twitch.lrn.fm. That's happening at 10:30, so come back for that.
Blaze it.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus.
That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.